Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. His name is Bo. His name is Dylan, and he's playing some kind of 70s.
This sounds like we're watching Starsky and Hutch in the 70s, and they just came back from commercial.
Exactly.
Like, and it's like
exactly right.
And like they're pulling up in the cruiser to like a crime scene, and he's like, "What do you think, Hutch?"
This is what we rejoin with on a boys' day when we're coming back from commercial.
Yeah, there you go.
Type How about we rejoin with like some Whiskey Myers or some like Metallica?
I actually don't mind the vibes with this one, man. I don't mind the vibes at all. I'm down with Starsky and Hutch.
Got a little funk to it.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We got to get back into this Falcons conversation. And I said just a minute ago, speaking of which, before I even get there, the Ryder Cup coverage has started. Okay?
Oh, Ryder Cup coverage has started. We got to change
the channel. We did. I did it.
Is it middle?
While you were over there chatting about Underdog, I went up there and turned on Law & Order SVU.
Well, I wish you had turned off. You did. You turned on ESPN.
Welcome.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Hey, Dylan, round of applause for
just like
the All-American, the captain.
I've been singing Dylan probably knows this. I've been singing the Moana song from Maui. What can I say? You're welcome. You know what I mean? So there it is.
I've been singing
Maui for the last few days.
Just real quick. When I was on my plane ride back from Michigan when I went last week for my cousin's wedding.
Not the Eagles game.
Okay. I was in Michigan. But I was watching the live action Lilo & Stitch. Actually, very good. I didn't get a chance to finish it because I fell asleep, but I need to finish it. So
I think my kids are scared of the original Lilo & Stitch. It's like a rabid dog half the time.
Yeah, I could definitely understand that.
Why is this dog rabid?
What's the basis of that show? Like, what's the plot?
The Lilo & Stitch is like an alien being.
Yeah, he was an alien being created by this mad alien scientist, and then they exile Stitch because they say he's dangerous, and so he crash lands on Hawaii, and he can't leave the island because if he gets in water, then he drowns because his body becomes too dense. So then he's discovered by Lilo because he needs a home, and he's trying to evade the people that are trying
to
capture him. She wants a dog. He hides his like tentacles and stuff, whatever, and he looks like a weird dog.
So, way too much Disney talk.
Yeah, right.
All right, I live that life every day.
You could have just said an alien alien life form that in the shape of a dog came to. It's basically the kid's version of Alf.
I live that
you
life.
You could have just said that.
Every day.
I've never seen Alf, so
every
I didn't
day.
Know.
You know what? I am sad that I brought up Maui.
You know what Alf stands for?
No.
Alien life form.
Oh,
there you go.
Nice.
Great show.
All right, let's get into this conversation about the Commanders and the Falcons. I said going into the break that there was something Jeff Olbrick said yesterday that made me feel jealous as a Falcon fan and as a guy that covers his team and as a guy who's
that
been
made
very
you
critical.
Jealous.
Made me jealous.
You're jealous of the other team?
Well, you know what, Dylan? Let's just play the cut. I'll let you hear it.
Whoever it is, they all run hard, and they're all good at breaking tackles and getting extra yardage, and they all have a tenacity about them where they push piles and they get leaky yards, too, if you don't get a lot of hats on them and get population to the ball. So it's a really unique game because it's just the offense is so voluminous, it's a good word, that there's so much stuff, you know, like there's so much variations of zone read, bypass, zone read, a million different counter OT, gap schemes, and a lot of pass game to go with it. So preparing for all this stuff, it can get a little overwhelming, you know, but the beauty of it is there is an element of once you're through the first quarter, you got a decent idea about how they're attacking you. So it's just trying to compartmentalize that information and just understand how we're being attacked today and then adjust accordingly.
Say the word with me.
So it worked. No, hold on. At first,
say it with me.
Voluminous.
Voluminous.
At first, I thought it was the leaky yards that was really made you jealous. And I was like, ooh,
no.
Leaky.
No,
but
don't
I was
be
like,
voluminous.
I was like, leaky's on the same line as moist. But then I heard him say the voluminous.
Voluminous.
Which is, I don't know the exact definition, but it, to me, I'm going to go ahead and tell you it's probably like the multiplicities that they can come out with
of
in
a
this
high
offense.
Volume or something like that.
Yeah, like basically how, because I, dude, literally they get the start the game last week. I mean, the opening kickoff, Debo gets a pretty big kickoff return, Debo Samuel. And then the very first play they run is with a jumbo package, extra tackle, unbalanced line, whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't call it an unbalanced line. To me, an unbalanced line is when you move a tackle, the left tackle or the right tackle to the other side, and you have two tackles are all on the field and they're both on one side.
Sure.
But then again, you can call it whatever you want, but the jumbo package or the extra tackle, and they just start running down their throats.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. And voluminous to me, I just got a little jealous, man. I wish that somebody would look at our offense and go, man, it's voluminous.
And if you were
the opposite,
I think
of voluminous.
It could be, though. I think it could be. I think, I don't know where, and this is the knock that you and I actually do agree on about Zach Robinson, is that it seems vanilla as far as, I feel like it's not as complex as the offense was last year. Like, I feel like we showed more with motions and more in the run game last year than we had the first three games this year. And maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like there was a much more there was more moving parts and there was more variation to it last year at this time. Take away the Pittsburgh game.
Maybe.
Away the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, I was going to say that the game plan against Pittsburgh just looms so large in my head. And look, I mean, I think it is what it is. I want to see more volume, yes. But I want to see more variation in the volume. The vanilla to me and the predictability, that's two different things. Predictability means like, hey, you have a bunch of plays, but we know exactly what you're going to do on what down and distance. All right, you're very predictable. You're going to run on first. You're going to play action on second. You're going to throw on third. That's predictability. The vanilla to me is our offense, 9 times out of 10, we're running the ball. It's very simple, and I'll tell you exactly. And they probably have different names for all these plays. This is probably why Zach Robinson and Dwayne Ledford don't think it's vanilla. Here's what they're doing. They're putting Charlie Warner in motion. They're going to insert him somewhere on the line of scrimmage to switch assignments with one of the offensive linemen, and Bijan's going to run it behind him. That's what it is. That's what our run game is. And the reason I got so excited, we talked about it a week ago. I got so excited about the pulling guard because I was like, dude, it's in there. Like, we have the ability to do this. We can build off of this counterplay. You've shown the footwork in the backfield of Bijan to take one step to his left and go to his right. Let's just keep building on that. And I haven't seen it since. And it was even more vanilla against Carolina when you needed to have a good offense.
If it's in there, why don't we see it more?
Like, I don't know.
Like, that's what I don't really get where the comfortability is. I know what Lindstrom said. I'm tired of repeating it to you and Dylan about we do what we do, and that's good. But when you do what you do and it's not working. You know, look, I think
because it was working.
Can I say one thing though? Like, we're not giving Carolina the actual players enough credit for knowing some of these guys, like Derrick Browns of the world, knowing us and knowing what we want to do and just knowing as far as, well, this is how Lindstrom has always blocked me and this is what I can do against him. There's one instance where he ragdolled Lindstrom in that game. And he waited, he saw us running that, waited, boom, throws him out of the way. He did the same thing the week before against an Arizona defensive lineman. But, like, I get frustrated when games, you know, people always want to talk about adjustments and game plans. And I feel like there's a misunderstanding. Like I've heard the stat, well, Tyler Allgeier only had one carry in Sunday's game. That's unacceptable. And it should never happen. Well, do you think the game plan coming in was we're going to give Tyler one carry? No.
Like, why did it happen then?
Because I think that they got away from the game plan. Yeah, I think when it's
okay, we're in agreement there.
As soon as it was 17-0, and somebody was telling me yesterday, you can still run this and that out of when it's 17-0. It's easy to say when you're not the one down 17-0 and what you've been trying to do is not working and you start trying to change things up and then you turn it over on downs again and then it's 20-0 quickly. And now you even get further away from the original game plan.
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to go back to. And you said, let's give credit to Derrick Brown. He knows how Lindstrom's going to try to attack him. He was able to really play well off of that. I have an issue with that, though.
Why?
Because he shouldn't be that comfortable. He should not ever – the defensive players from the other team should never be that comfortable. It's like, hey, we knew where they were going to attack us. You should, if you have a guy that you know is the best player as a three technique, we should be running trap. We should be running wham. We should be running double teams out of power. We should be running a bunch of different things where he has to have questions on every play. Where am I going to get hit from? That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's no volume to it. Okay, there's no depth to the playbook. There's nothing that Zach Robinson looks at and says, man, let me hit this guy out of left field with something he's never seen before. He knew exactly what we were going to try to do to him.
Let me ask you this, because I think we need to have a real conversation and get to the depth of all of this. We know that I'm a huge fan, I know you are too, of Dwayne Lefford, the run game coordinator, the offensive line coach. He's both.
Sure.
Does any of this fall on him? Because at some point, does Dwayne Lefford say, hey, I'm the run game coordinator and I'm the O-line coach, and we work in unison, in concert, or whatever the word it might be. Throw in your big word. I'm not Jeff Ulbrich. I didn't play, I didn't grow up. I
voluminous. Guess,
where he did, yeah, you can use the word voluminous.
We're in concert.
I didn't even know what the hell that word meant until he said it, and I realized it. But to say we've got to start variating our offense, and I think my guys can do this, and we need to start inserting these plays. Because I know that ultimately it falls on Zach, and I'm not blaming Dwayne Lefford, but why are they not – What is the breakdown here?
I think that there is a personnel outlook, because we talked about it, and you brought up Chris Lindstrom has said, hey, we do what we do, we run wide zone. I think that Dwayne Lefford looks at it and says, Chris Lindstrom's not built for north and south run blocking. Now, you've tried to do more of that with duo. All power is when you pull a guard is like duo with a pulling guard. You're going to do double teams across the front. I think Chris Lindstrom not being built for it, and just hold on, Chris Lindstrom not being built for it, and Elijah Wilkinson not having the reps next to him makes him a little more like, I don't know if we should do that. Let's get back to what we do, and I think that's what this offense, more times than not, has fallen into.
And is pulling a Lindstrom not really more conducive? Does that not help him do that?
I'd love to see it.
Because here's the deal. If you say he's not suited to north and south, I get that. Maybe not coming right off the ball. However, he might be a lot better in it when I get my 300-pounder running downhill going north and south.
I'd love to see it. Haven't seen it. I'd love to know what Chris Lindstrom is as a puller. Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Never saw it. Never saw it. This Saturday from noon until 2, join Allie Mack at Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand and other prizes. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, this Saturday from noon until 2 at Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw with Allie Mack and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, it was a walk-off last night in Thursday Night Football. We'll get to it and more all in the huddle next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You not running play action and then doing it out of the pistol, in my opinion, you're not doing that as impactful as it's needed.
Yeah. We love you, Danny Boy, but there's a couple things that he had to say on Chris Thomas Tonight last night that I didn't follow. I didn't quite follow.
Is that all he said there? I thought they might be more like, from an expert knowledge, more in depth.
We're getting to it, right? There's something there. He talked about the pistol, and I want Dylan to find this because he talked about the pistol promoting bad footwork. That's the thing I don't say. Now, look, I didn't make no bones about it, and this is breaking news. None of the three of us played NFL quarterback like Dan Orlovsky did, so maybe he's right.
And I like Dan. I think Dan's a good dude.
Is one of the best in the business at breaking things down. I just don't understand. He comes out and he says, I don't like the way they use pistol. And I agree. I don't love the way we utilize pistol. But I was hoping for a little more analysis other than it just promotes bad footwork. And I don't understand how that's possible. Matthew Stafford runs pistol all the time. He's got some of the best footwork in the NFL. We're not the only team running pistol, and Michael Penix's footwork last week was the worst in the NFL. I don't understand how it promotes it. Maybe like I said, breaking news, earth-shattering stuff right here. None of us have ever played a quarterback in the NFL. I just don't understand that.
So why did it not promote bad footwork when he was in college, and now it does? Like, why was he able to run it?
It could have. Well, I don't think his footwork is great in college.
Okay.
But I don't know that it was because of the pistol. Like, what's the difference in your footwork and pistol and shotgun? Everybody runs shotgun. Well, Dylan said he's got it keyed up. Let's hear Dan Orlovsky talk about the footwork thing.
It's just when you're in the gun and the pistol so much as a quarterback, I feel like you're just promoting standstill. Like, I don't see a lot of movement and urgency out of Michael because it feels like he's constantly just in that spot.
But
yeah, I don't know, man. Like you said, I trust Dan Orlovsky. Dude played quarterback in the field. I just don't understand what that means.
I trust Dave Archer more, maybe because I've learned a lot from him, and
which
I just talked to him a lot.
20 today,
yeah,
by the way.
I'm going to ask him. That's my point. I want to ask him straight up. Hey, do you feel like, you know, that being in the shotgun or the pistol promotes bad footwork? Because personally, I didn't play, but what do you always see quarterbacks do when they're standing in the pocket? They're patting the ball and their feet are kind of shuffling. I don't want to say shuffling, but they're almost like hopping a little bit. Like they're
popping their feet.
They're moving.
They're popping your feet.
And what they're doing is
Drew Brees was the best that I ever saw doing that.
They're moving through their reads.
Yes.
And their feet is turning them to each read, right?
Yep.
And is Penix just standing there like turning his neck and his shoulders and then throwing? I mean, I'd have to go back and watch. I do know that he's very flat-footed when he's thrown. We've talked about it. I've watched that. But I with you, like, it seems like that's more of some kind of bad habit he's got in. I don't know what happened last week to him. But I feel like something in that game happened when he went in a funk and he could not. There's footage of him on the sideline, like, just with his hands in his head. And, like, he looks emotionally distraught.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I was emotionally distraught watching it. You know, I don't want to speak for everybody out there, but I was emotionally distraught too.
I mean, yeah,
I was like, dude, what are we doing?
I went there
What's going on?
I mean,
what's going on here?
I missed time.
yeah, no, I'm with you on that. We will have Dave Archer coming up at 8:20. I do want to ask him about that because I think that's a fascinating conversation. Also, don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio 929 The Game on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. It's free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
All right, last night, Arizona, Seattle. Can I just go ahead and throw you guys behind the curtain?
Okay, go ahead.
We talked about with Allie out, I was going to run in the huddle, and then Mike threw to it, and I was waiting for him to run it.
I knew you were over there just typing away on your computer. I was like, what's going on Twitter?
Marvin Harrison goes in a funk last night. In the middle, like, he's been in one for about two or three weeks, really all season.
Such a disconnect
and
for him, Kyler.
All of a sudden, well, he kind of found it last night.
Yeah.
He kind of found it late in that game. They ended up tying. They go down the field. They tie it up. And it's 20-20, short kickoff. And then Seattle gets in field goal range, and they walk it off last night, 23-20. They go to, what, I think 3-1, and the Cardinals fall to 2-2. Kind of wild game, but the disconnect there with Marvin Harrison you talk about, I think that it falls on Kyler Murray more. And here's why. Because you're paying him second contract money. You're paying him as a franchise quarterback. And with that comes, and he is a veteran. He's been in this league now 5 or 6 years. With all those things we just mentioned, you know what comes with that? Hey, getting your young receiver on the same page as you and connecting with him.
Yeah, that's possible. I'm not going to put it all on Kyler's shoulders. We don't know what those conversations are. He could be telling Marvin Harrison to do things that Marvin Harrison's not doing. And, you know, look, there's You can look at like Malik Nabers, the situation he's had. He always seems to be locked in, no matter who's playing quarterback. So it just kind of is what it is. I do find it fascinating. It seems like no matter where you turn, you either find no matter where you turn in the NFL these days, you either find an Ohio State wide receiver or an LSU wide receiver. Like, he's one of the two. And you saw two of them last night with Jackson Smith and Jigba on the other side. It's like, dude, where do these receivers just keep coming from at these two schools?
Hey, do you think that, like, I was thinking about this last night, and Marvin Harrison treated the draft process a lot like Shedeur Sanders did. I don't need the interviews. I don't need the workouts. I'm the best wide receiver in the draft, and you're going to draft me based on what I did in college. But Marvin Harrison didn't drop. And now it feels, and it is a disconnect. So if you want to go play the other side, what if Marvin Harrison's a problem? And his attitude that he came into the league with, as far as how he treated the draft process, he's been treating to his new team.
I think the way that he treated the draft process is probably a lot different than the way he treated individuals from teams that were scouting him. It's from everything we've heard of Shedeur Sanders, there was a couple people that came out and said that he treated it like it was a recruiting process. Like, he was wondering what these teams can do for him, and it was off-putting. I don't know that Marvin Harrison Jr. treated it like that. I think he just simply said, look, I'm the best player in the draft. I'm not going to waste my time going to take a trip to a number 18 team in the draft and do all that stuff. I don't know that on an individual relationship basis that he went out of his way to talk down to anybody the way it's been kind of reported of Shedeur. So, I don't know. It remains to be seen, and that story is not written just yet. I think it's a good combination, though, and I think they'll probably have some success. We saw it on film against the Panthers when we watched film last week.
All right, Eagles-Buccaneers, that game is at a 1 o'clock kick in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Both teams undefeated. It's right now the spread is at a 3.5-point favorite, the Eagles are, as yep. they go in. So that means that the Vegas thinks they're essentially 7 points better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
Is that because the way Tampa's had to win every game?
Yeah, I think so. And Tampa's got flaws. Let's put it point blank. They're not the offense they were a year ago so far. And they've had injuries. They've had another couple of issues. They're missing a couple of linemen. They have had Baker magic, and I've said it a number of times, Baker feels inevitable at the end of these games. Baker Mayfield comes up with big plays, does it with his legs, does it with his arms, does it with whatever. And we saw it here front and center week one. Doesn't mean they're, you know, just going to run away and punch the Eagles in the mouth. And the problem is the Eagles are a team that stays in 4-minute mode the entire game. So if you get to the end of the fourth quarter and you're hoping for a comeback and thinking you're going to get the ball back, it's probably not going to happen, man. It's just not. And the Eagles are not going to allow you to do that.
Their Tampa's run defense, though, is the strength of their team.
I agree.
If you look at their entirety of their team, the strength of it is the run defense. So that's going to be pretty good matchup there.
I am excited to see the way that Tampa tries to defend the tush push with Vita Vea in the middle. I know they signed old buddy back that was a Florida
Watson.
Gator with like 420 pounds. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and throw those two guys in A-gap. Let's see what happens. Maybe a standard elevation.
Yeah, I was about to say, and who's inactive there? Real quick, Justin Clears field. It looks like he's been cleared to he has to be cleared. But he's returned to practice with a concussion. That's good for the Jets. Hopefully they get him back. But Tua has been just all in it with criticism from other people, including Cam Newton, who decides to come at him on that disgrace of his show First Take. I don't understand why Cam Newton, when he does, I don't mind him criticizing because he played the position. I feel like he makes it personal, though, where he says, look, in this case, more money, more expectations. You've got Ferraris. And then he goes on to say, I liked Tua when he was quiet and had a chip on his shoulder, and he talks too much now. Cam Newton telling someone that they talk too much. Why does it feel – is it all fair on Tua? How much does his head coach deserve it? Because ROC here gets all the blame.
I think you've seen the career arc from Tua, much like it's like a villain in a superhero movie. He's tired of being talked down to. He's tired of people just taking free shots at him and telling him to hang it up. Telling him he's got CTE, telling him
he's fat.
All this stuff.
Right. Ryan Clark called him fat.
Tua's tired of it. I don't mind Cam saying what he says. He gets paid to do that, and that's his opinion. But Tua's tired of it too, man. So don't act one way and tell a guy not to do it. I respect both of them, man. They're both really good players in their own right. So, all right, we got to go to break, man. We come back. We're going to hit Fair Foul Friday. Threw this one out yesterday. How about this Fair Foul? Who ends up with more rushing yards this weekend? I'm sorry. The fair foul is Nate Frazier ends up with more rushing yards this weekend than Bijan Robinson. Fair foul. I was going to say, I was reading it like it was Which One Wednesday. Didn't hit. It's Verify Friday. That's coming up next. Sticks with us. It's Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game 7:42 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. His name is Squid Billy. Dylon back there playing the good tunes today and saluting. I like the salute better than the wave. Brings a vibe. It is a high vibe Friday. I don't know what the word is. The vibes about the Falcons Commanders on Sunday. I don't really have a good word for it. I think the word might be timid. A little bit timid. I ain't scared though. We'll see what happens. Mercedes Benz. Well, let's see what happens at Mercedes-Benz this weekend, keeping track of everything. We're going to do our picks here in just 1 second. Ryder Cup has teed off. A lot of boos for Rory McIlroy. A lot of boos for Rory. I'm here for it. I love it. It kind of is what it is. That's what happens at the Ryder Cup, and that's one of the beauties of it, the pageantry that comes along with it. But you're off and running in the Ryder Cup. I'll be plugged into that all weekend. I'll be plugged into NFL football. Obviously, Sunday is you and I, Bo, kick off the pregame show at 11 o'clock. We'll be live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Always a fun time getting a chance to be around the fans and do different things. Right now, though, we are going to pick our picks for our Man Up Monday picks going through Friday. Do we have an intro for this, Dylon? No intro? There you go. Okay, perfect. I'm doing my best, man. Fake it till you make it over here. We do miss you, Allie Mac. All right, we do miss you. We're faking it till we make it. We got to run through our four picks. Then Dylan's going to have his wild card at the end. He's going to hit us over the head with just something random out of the blue. We both won our wild card pick last week, I believe, though, after losing the UConn game a couple of weeks ago.
4-0-0 for Mike last week. 4-0-1, I should say, for Mike last week. And 4-1 for Bo last week as well.
What are the overall records?
We were on a heater.
Bo is 11-3 currently. And Mike currently is, with that push he had last week, is 7-6-1.
There you go. There you go, feeling bad. I went 0-4 week one, trying to climb out of the hole.
Bo's on a heater, but Mike is also weekly. Last week he's on a heater, so you guys both are feeling pretty good right now.
I think Mike's on a heater too, starting 0 for the first week. That's pretty good. I give you a lot of credit.
I went 0-4, and then I went 2-2, or 3-2, or whatever it was, and then 4-0. Feeling pretty good.
Doesn't he look like Lane Kiffin a little bit? The guy teeing off right now.
I don't know who you're talking about. So I'm just going to go English, Harris English. Like you just didn't do that randomly. All right, here, let's start off. We'll go to the NFL game off the top. Let's go Eagles at Bucks. Bo, you can start this one. The Bucks are 3.5-point dogs at home down in Tampa. The over-under this one, 43.5.
Vegas knows what they're doing in this with this over-under because, 44, 37, those are the first 2 weeks of the Eagles, the total scores. And then last week it just goes out of the world. I don't think these offenses are as good as these defense. Take the under 43.5.
Okay, I see what you're doing there. I'm going to go back to it. I still think Tampa, a flawed football team in some ways. I love Baker Mayfield. I love this line at 3.5, though, because here's how I see it playing out. The Eagles get a fourth quarter touchdown. They're up by 4. If it was a score where Baker could get in field goal range and change things, then I would be well more likely to take Tampa. But the Eagles are up by 4. Baker's got to go for a touchdown. He can't get it done at the end of the game. Eagles win by 4 or more. I'll take the Eagles minus the 3.5 points on the road. The next NFL game we're going to get to, Ravens at Chiefs. Couple of 1-2 football teams that are both trying to climb their way out of this far-fetched notion that they can make a Super Bowl run at this point. Chiefs are actually 2.5-point dogs at home. Ravens favored by 2.5 on the road, over under 48.5. I'll start this one. I'm a massive believer in the Baltimore Ravens. I know they have flaws. I know you don't expect them to have flaws defensively. This is a team that does have Super Bowl aspirations. And while the Chiefs always do, I think the Chiefs are just a little more comfortable at 1-2. They have their Super Bowl rings. They have everything else. I know they're a good team, but they have much bigger flaws to me than Baltimore does. I think Baltimore gets it done. I'm going to take Baltimore minus the 2.5, even though they're playing in Arrowhead.
The Ravens have given up 30 or more twice. The only time they didn't give up 30 or more, they played the Browns. And it's the Browns. That lead, anytime they play an offense or a quarterback that's in his prime with a pulse, they get just their defense has been horrific so far. The over is 48.5. Take the over. Both these teams, this game will definitely have 50 points scored in it. Take the over.
All right, let's go on to college football. We'll try to run through these. We have to hit Fair Foul Friday here in just 1 second. Oregon at Penn State. Bob, I'll let you lead this one off. Oregon at Penn State. Penn State at home, 3.5-point favorites.
No feel whatsoever, but I'll take the over at 52.5 because the last time these two teams played in the Big Ten championship game, it's extremely high scoring.
Yeah, I love it. You're leaning into the over-unders in this one.
That's all I'm doing this week.
I actually like the way that you did that. Here's my thing. Oregon is going to be a road dog until James Franklin proves me that he can consistently. I know he got it monkey off his back a little bit. Drew Aller, though, and even when they did win big games, Drew Aller's, 6 of 17 a year ago in top 10 matchup. Give me Oregon in this game plus the 3.5 points. I'll take that all day. Oregon plus the 3.5. And then finally, we got to pick Alabama, Georgia. Bo, I'll take this loss cleanly on my record. You know I'm not picking Georgia in this game. You know I'm not. My heart can't let me do it. I do think they're a good football team. Am I confident that Bama's going to win? No. But give me the 3 points or whatever it is, whatever line you're showing that Bama's going to get it done. I don't care. I'll take the loss on my record if that's what it comes down to, Dylan, but it just is what it is.
You think about Georgia, you think about Alabama. What do you think about, Mike? Defense. However, only once since Kirby Smart has been there that the total has been under 50. And that was the very first time that national championship game.
Yep.
Then it's 35-28, 41-24, 41-24, 33-18. That one might have been that was 51. 27-24 and 41-34. Take the over. 53.5. Take it. So These are always high scoring games.
I took all road teams right there. You took all over unders. Dylan, what do you got for the wild card?
We're going to go from Athens, Georgia to Athens, Ohio. Bowling Green at Ohio.
God almighty,
the
dude.
Line is Ohio minus 8.5. The over under is 50.5. Fellas, good luck. Bowling Green at Ohio. Line is Ohio minus 8.5.
Sounds like a big game.
Over-under is 50.5.
Give me the home team minus the points. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Give me the home team minus the points. It is what it is. What a random one. Good for you.
Rando pick of the
week. Good for you.
Ohio has the better offensive players.
I'm
going to
make you go first. You keep Googling.
I know, bro.
Apparently in this game. I don't know. Bowling Green I don't know.
Nobody believes you.
You know what? I'm taking Bowling Green. I'm going to take Bowling Green in the 8.5. That's a huge spread.
All right. A reminder, it's a huge weekend in Athens with Georgia getting set to host Alabama on Saturday. And Sports Radio 92.9, the game is going to be in the middle of all the action. Join us today from 2 to 6 for a special edition of Dukes and Bell from Grindhouse Killer Burgers on Lumpkin Street. Be locking in for Saturday's big game, along with getting the weekend started a little bit early. That's Dukes and Bell today from 2 to 6 at Grindhouse Killer Burgers on Lumpkin Street in Athens on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And as a reminder, Fair Foul Friday brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I guess I'll go and take the kids without my wife this weekend because it's her birthday, and she was like, I'm going to hang out with my friends. And I was like, fine, I am too. They're 3 and 5 years old, and we're going to watch the Bama game together. Go ahead, Dylan.
Fair or foul, fellas, Gunnar Stockton more likely to be a Heisman finalist over Haynes King, even if both Georgia and Georgia Tech make the playoffs. Bo, we'll start with you.
That's a tough one.
I think it's fair because of the profile. Although, if Georgia Tech makes the playoff, Haynes King, that means they have to have a Heisman-worthy player based on kind of what that is. Actually, I'm going to talk myself out of it. Foul.
I was going to say.
I just talked myself out of it. Foul. You know what? I talked myself out of it. Foul.
I'm gonna go foul, too. I think that if we talk about the straw that serves the drink is Haynes King. If they get 10 wins and they go to the playoff, he is going to be the centerpiece. I don't know that Gunnar Stockton is going to be known as the centerpiece if that happens. I think that Nate Frazier, that wide receiver core, like you said, Georgia's always known as having a big defense. I think Haynes King will get more credit if they go to the playoffs than Georgia will. So I'll stick with Haynes King on that one.
Next one, fair or foul, not one but two wide receivers will catch touchdowns versus the Commanders on Sunday for the Falcons. We all have heard the stat by now. Falcons, wide receivers, and tight ends both yet to record a touchdown catch this
season. I'm going to go foul on that one, and I'm going to say that, okay, maybe there's two receiving touchdowns. Maybe Drake gets one, but maybe Bijan or Kyle Pitts get the other one. And well, I do think this has got to be a heavy running weekend for this team. I think that Bijan on the ground maybe scores a touchdown, or Algier, whoever it may be.
I think that they have to be better passing inside their red area. We've obviously talked about it. I count Kyle Pitts as a receiver. If you can include him in the no tight ends or receivers have had a receiving touchdown, then he needs to be included in this question to me. So for that, I am counting Kyle Pitts as a receiver. So, yes, it's fair. I say fair.
All right.
You just threw a curveball at me. I'm like, wait a minute. How do I feel about this? I don't even know. Dylan, just go back to fair foul.
We're going back to Georgia-Alabama and fair foul. Kalen DeBoer beating Kirby Smart. Fair foul. Kalen DeBoer beating Kirby Smart would be a bigger deal than Kirby Smart beating Kalen DeBoer on Saturday.
That's a really good question.
Is it me? It's fair. It's fair because Kalen DeBoer is – his job is in more doubt than Kirby's is. And I think – look, Kirby right now is judged by national titles, not wins in the regular season. Now, I know that you've got to get there, and I understand that. But at the end of the year, it's going to be more important for Kirby's career and legacy if he wins another national title or at least makes a college football playoff title game or deep in the playoff run, right?
Yeah.
Than it is if he beat Kalen DeBoer on a Saturday in September.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Georgia fans would rather win this game or the SEC championship? Because I think if you don't play in the SEC championship and you go to the college football playoff, you could still win the national title.
I think
that's not the question.
I think if the end of the year result was the same, they'd probably rather beat Alabama in the regular season.
That's interesting.
But you know, I don't know because they're Georgia fans, right or wrong, have gotten in this mindset where SEC titles don't matter, national titles do. And I'm gonna tell you something. It's hard for me to argue that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they have two national titles and one SEC title.
I'm on board with what you said, though. I think it's fair that Kalen DeBoer wouldn't be a bigger deal.
All right, I got like three more I want to get to, so we'll go rapido here.
Let's go.
Let's get to the one we teased. Nate Frazier, fair foul. Nate Frazier will have more rush yards this weekend than Bijan Robinson. Mike, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say fair. I don't really trust Bama's defensive front. I know they got Tim Keenan back. Bijan, I hope, splits carries with Tyler Algier a little bit more than we saw last weekend. I'm going to say Nate Frazier ends up with like 60-70, Bijan at 50-60. That's where I'm at.
It's foul. But Nate Frazier will have more fumbles than Bijan Robinson this weekend.
Wow.
Ooh, okay.
Over the top. You're making a lot of friends out there right now.
Fair foul. Micah.
It's just kind of the way it goes. He fumbles a lot.
Micah Parsons going back to Jerry World this weekend. Fair foul. Micah Parsons gets two sacks.
Very fair. Very fair. I absolutely think it's fair. He also still has the box there. Did you see that? They wouldn't refund him his box, so he still has a box.
I didn't know that.
He still has a box at AT&T Stadium. He's going to show out. He can say all he wants to. He's going to show out. He's out for blood.
It's a luxury box suite. Yeah, it's fair.
All right, last one. Let's go to the NFC South real quick, talk about the Bucs. Mike Evans, we know, potentially out 3 to 4 weeks for this sake. Let's say he misses the next 4 weeks. The Bucs' next four games, Eagles, Seahawks, 49ers, Lions. If Mike Evans misses the next 4 weeks, the Bucs could possibly go, fair foul. The Bucs will go 0-4 over the next 4 weeks.
That's foul. They'll go 2-2 though.
You would have had me at 1-3.
Okay.
Luck. Look, I'm not saying they're lucky. They've won a lot of tight games, and it's by the skin of their little chinny chin chin.
Yeah.
Or the hair of the little chinny chin chin. I guess the skin of their teeth kind of can mix those.
Yeah.
I just think those four teams are all too good for them to continue to do that because the. The teams they have beat like that are 0-3, 0-3, and 1-2.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do a little bit of wake-up call. More Falcons, Commanders conversation. We've also talked a lot today about Dan Orlovsky. Who's your favorite person that you like to listen to break down football? Also, we'll take your Washington Commanders and Atlanta Falcons predictions and your Bama-Georgia predictions. Whatever else you want to talk about, man, hit us up at the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Morning Shift, be right back on the other side. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.